Greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That song is so beautiful. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, nothing can overcome Christ. Our sermon text for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost will be taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. You can remain seated for this as the teaching text. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, continuing in Jesus' name. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. It is a teaching of Paul. Father, you have encouraged us through many writings. We pray, Father, this day that it would be the same. That you would allow your Spirit to speak, that it would be bold, and that we would find encouragement and strength in and through your word. Allow us always, Father, to preach that word. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I felt that we should go in this direction because today is, as we've heard a couple times, it is the first day of confirmation. For these young individuals will come from different parts of the country to be taught throughout the week and then go back to their congregations and be established, confirmed in their congregation. Now, this is not something that we could say is found directly in Scripture. No doubt about it. In fact, we kind of do this very interestingly enough, even wrong compared to what Luther speaks about. In our day and age, we have a tendency where quite often we'll drive up, and I'm no less guilty than anybody else, so don't think I'm picking on someone. But we have a tendency to drive up, drop off our kids, and head out, and say, Sunday school, teach them. But if we really were to take the catechism and we were to look at what the catechism says, right in the very beginning, Luther makes a very strong point. He says, this is to be taught by the parents to the children in their household. I fail. I don't need to look out there. I brought my kids to Sunday school. I brought them through confirmation. I did all what I felt I had to do. But how much of an active role did I take part in it? And see, that's something that's really interesting. We get all fired up in this day and age when we start turning around and saying, well, in our school systems, we need to have the Ten Commandments. We need our teachers to be standing up for the Word of God. We live in a nation where there's freedom of religion, and so this should never be shunned. Actually, if you were to be 100% accurate, I don't want the schools teaching my children about God. They can observe it, they can give a reverence to Him, they can still definitely incorporate His Word, but it is not their responsibility, it is my responsibility as a steward of this child to raise them up in the admiration of the Lord. Because if we're going to stand in the freedom of religion, then what religion? I don't want those teachers responsible. Paul is very strong. He takes a very strong point here with Timothy. Timothy, he even calls his spiritual son. He taught him. He encouraged him. He nurtured him in the word of the Lord. And he took this very personally. Very personally. That he would encourage them. And so, now he stands up here, after he goes through in the previous chapters, even in the previous book of Timothy. And he shows them that there will be difficulty, there's going to be struggles, people are going to come against you, there's going to be false doctrines, there's going to be all kinds of other things. He says, but stay strong. Well, that is a call to you and I. It's not just to Timothy. It is a call to you and I that with our children and with our families, we would stay strong. With our husbands, with our wives, with our brothers, with our sisters, that we would stay strong. That we would encourage, and that we would strengthen, and that we would bring out the truth of God's Word. So he turns around in this text that we picked, and very strongly he says, I'm charging you. I'm giving you this instruction, he says. In fact, he says, I'm doing it before God the Father and Jesus Christ. This is how serious this is, Timothy. He says, I am charging you to the fact of this. Preach the word. Preach the word. When we go out to Camp Lucky this week and we spend time with these young individuals, and we spend time encouraging them and teaching them, not only of the catechism, but actually of the Word of God, there will be some fun times. There will be bonfires. There will be games. There will be entertainment that they can do. And that's great. But when they come and they sit before the pastors that come there, those pastors better present to them the raw truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For there is nothing else more important or more sacred upon this earth than that. It's not a game. I've heard many times as a pastor, people come up to me and they kind of puff out their chest a little bit and they're like, when I was in confirmation, you know, the pastor made us memorize the whole book from beginning to end. Yeah? Recite it to me. Please, recite it. I've never heard of praying before. Toot my own horn. But anyway. The fact of it is I'm not saying memorization is not important. That's extremely important. And it's very beneficial. But yet God also, really, what He wants is relationship. He wants relationship. What does this mean to you? And that's where I find a lot of the pastors that come together is, how does this impact you? What does this word mean to you? How does it impact your life? Not just do you have the Ten Commandments memorized so you can spew them out whenever someone requests it, but what do those commandments mean? What does it mean to love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? What does that mean? And how can one do that? What does it mean to honor your parents? What does it mean not to steal? Does it just mean don't take something visible? What about time? What about credit? What about other things? What does it mean? How do you see this? Much deeper than just a memorization of something. What in reality is the creed? What is its purpose? Why do we have it? What brought it out? What's significant about the Lord's Prayer? What is significant about baptism? Not that just we baptize infants, but why do we do this? And this is the doctrine that we stand firm on. And this is the doctrine that we try to encourage people in. That you don't just believe in willy-nilly. You have something solid and structurally sound because it is founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ. All of it points to Christ. He says, I am now exhorting you, charging you before God the Father, before Jesus Christ, who will come. And He will be the ultimate judge, is what He says. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Understand the importance of what is going on here. Preach that Word. He says, and be instant in season and out of season. Really, He says, do it all the time. Whether it's popular or not, continue to preach that word. Because if you look in human beings' lives, there's times where preaching the word is quite popular, and then there's times where, no, we don't want to hear it. He says, don't fluctuate with the crowds. Don't fluctuate with the people. Continue to teach and preach that word that you have been given since a youth. Continue. And so he says, reprove. He says, turn around and bring correction. Bring rebuke where it may. He says, because what is more important? There is nothing more important than living an honorable and an upright life in Christ. He says, exhort. He says, but do it how? With love. Do it with love. Long suffering. Be patient. Are we patient? Sometimes we get into the room and we want to teach these kids something and they don't quite get it, and then you get all frustrated and say, what's wrong with you kids? You're on your video games, you don't even listen no more. Right? That's what we do as adults. I sound more and more like an old man every day. I do. I find myself grumbling, and I remember when I was 15 thinking that's all they do is grumble. Well, now I do. But the fact of it is, really, do you have the patience and the love to encourage them to grow in this word? Are we too busy gauging people with the yardstick of our years? That is a fault that the church often has. What I mean by that is God has allowed us, say, at 45 years old, to grow to this maturity. And then someone will come into faith, and we're excited, aren't we? Yes. Thank God they've come to the understanding of Jesus Christ and the redemptive work that He's done. But then within days or weeks, we're already judging them according to where we are. We have matured. Allow them to also mature. Allow them to be encouraged. When we have the confirmation next week, are we going to take these individuals seriously? That they are members of this body. I am encouraged by many of the others that have been confirmed in previous years, and they are involved. That is such an encouragement. I don't know if this congregation even realizes, and I'm not saying you don't, but think about it. If your daughter or your son, if they have been confirmed in the last 3-4 years and is still coming here and still active in this congregation, that's huge. Praise God for that. And allow them to see that they have a place and a function. Allow them to see that they are part of this body. It doesn't just happen when they get married. It's not. They are not the future church. They are the church. It's interesting, this week we had that work day out at Lefty, and I was kind of, you know, sometimes you get a little overwhelmed by your own thoughts, and you're thinking, well, who's going to show up and who's not going to show up? Even when guys show up, I don't think they're there to work. I'm wondering why they're there. That's how negative a person can get. But I was soon corrected. But the fact of it is that I had a good week because I got to work with some individuals that I haven't worked with before. And I was quite encouraged. I had wonderful conversations with people from this congregation that I've never met with. I mean, I've met with them and I've sat in there and had conversations, but to get to work side by side with each other for many hours at a time, you really get to have conversations. I was encouraged. Young Jared came out there, not to point like that people, but he came out there and he was up on a roof. He helped. It was good to get to know him better. Miranda got to drive a stick shift for the first time. I got to go fix the rut, but whatever. It's fun. And this is what I'm talking about. You can have the fellowship, you can have the fun, but always stand firm on that word. Understand that they are liable and very viable members of the congregation. And so he says, be this way. Continue to encourage and do it with long suffering. He says, always bringing forth this teaching. Teaching is so important. Too many times, I think, as human beings, we take for granted teaching. Because we want to stand up and say, well, yes, we're free in Jesus Christ. We have the redemption of Jesus Christ, so we're good to go. And that's true. Praise God for that. But he also says, keep my commandments. And his greatest commandment is what? To love one another as I have loved you. To give for another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to help one another. Now you might say, Pastor, where are you coming up with this? Well, that's what he said. He says, this is the commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Did Jesus give? Absolutely. He gave to the last drop. Did he encourage them? Absolutely. He preached and he taught and he encouraged, not only in hills and in plains, but also in synagogues. He went to the temple and he reproved. He taught. He encouraged those that others would leave behind. He healed those that no one else would touch. He did these things. And that's what the body of Christ is for. To encourage. To bring correction from the Word, not from our own understanding, but always with love and patience. He says, there will be a time. He says, there's going to come a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, after their own desires, they heap up to themselves what? Teachers. Teachers that they like is really what he's saying here. That he says, they have itchy ears. And this is an interesting thing. I've heard this preached 100 times in a fashion of, see, now this is telling you that these liberal churches and all these other things, this is all they're doing. Really? That's all it focuses on? The liberal churches. The churches that, you know, we as a conservative group, and I'm trying to bring this in a different direction because I don't think we're that tough here. But let me say this. Legalism is just as bad as any real liberalism. Sin is sin. Self-righteousness and preaching one's own way to heaven by their own works and their own doing is no different than saying we don't have to do anything. There is a moderation that we often miss, and sometimes in our more conservative groups and our more legalistic, if I could say it this way, groups, we have a tendency to use this text to say, oh, you know, anyone that has musical instruments, they're just of the world and they're no good. That's not what this says. They're just there for the entertainment. That's not what this says. Anyone that would partake in a glass of wine, well, they can't be of the truth because they're not being Christians, because we have that tendency to gauge in our fleshliness. Well, I'm bringing that specific subject in because if you go to Timothy chapter 1, he actually encourages Timothy to take some wine for his stomach's sake. So he can't be talking about that. That's the conservative and liberal side that I'm really trying to bring out here. And what he's saying is, people will have these preachers that will bring what they want to hear. And so we have a tendency to have preachers within our conservative side saying, well, TV is a sin. You can't do that and be a Christian. Alcohol is a sin. You can't do that and be a Christian. You know, clipping and curling your hair is a sin. You can't do that and be a Christian. But then we also have a liberal side where we turn around and say, well, if you don't do those things, you're hiding now and you're not proving the grace of God. So therefore, you can't be a Christian. It's all garbage. We focus on the externals and we miss what? The Word. The Word of God and the power and the might of His Word. That Jesus Christ came to this earth. He saw us in our sinful state and He died in our behalf to bring redemption through His blood for each and every one of us. And now by grace through faith we have obtained this salvation. That is the most important thing. But when we get bogged down in the politics of the church, or we get bogged down in our own theologies, our own understanding, we lose sight of that Word. Tell me it's not true. Tell me we don't see this on both sides of our fence. And Paul says, Timothy, I have raised you in the truth. I have continued to give you that Word. You're serving in Ephesus. I'm going to die. And that's okay. But keep preaching that truth no matter what. Even when it's not popular. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And know nothing else. Nothing else. When we seek to govern people by guilt, or we seek to govern people according to our tradition and our ways, we are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that faith cometh from the Word, and the Word of God. We believe by faith people's lives are changed. And by that same faith, and by that same Holy Spirit that encourages us, we will be conformed to the image of His Son. We don't need to preach all that other garbage. We need to glorify God. We continue to preach that message of redemption so that another ear could hear. He turns around and he says, continue to do this. He says, there will be this time, and it's not just a liberal time. It's a self-righteous time, too, where people will have these preachers that will preach how they want. You know, I've been told by individuals that I need to get behind a pulpit, not here, but I've been told by a more conservative side that I am not of the truth because I don't tell people they'll go to hell if they drink. Really? This is where we're going to establish our faith? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not encouraging drinking. I'm not saying we should drink. But we're going to judge somebody's salvation according to this. That's ridiculous. And this is what we need to remember when we're teaching and we're preaching. We preach and teach the truth of God's Word. For God so loved this world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever believeth. Not whosoever doesn't have a television. Not whosoever doesn't cook and curl their hair. Not whosoever doesn't drink wine or beer. Never say the word vodka. But the fact of it is, we have a tendency to preach man's ideas. Now, is the abuse of any of these things wrong? Yes. It is. Now, for you young individuals in this wonderful country that we live in, do you have the right to do it? No. You're not 21. So there's just that rule right there. But the fact of it is, these things are not what keeping one in or out of heaven. The reality of it is that God is able and willing to govern you and to teach you and to show you. And the best way never to become, say, an alcoholic is never to drink. Buddy, this isn't about drinking. So, he says they have these itching ears having people preach the way they want them to preach. He says, and they turn away, he says, from what? The ears of truth. Do you know how many people in this day and age, not just, say, with a liberal idea, but actually the conservative side, will turn an ear away from what's saved by grace and grace? There's a lot of people that would really irritate. You are saved by grace through faith. It is not of yourself. It is not a work of man. So where is the boasting? There is none. It's excluded. By what? The law? The law of works? No. The law of faith. He says it's not by the working of works. It's rather by the working of faith in your life that you are saved. It is by grace. Unmerited favor. But see, we don't like that at times. Jesse doesn't like that at times. Jesse would like to be able to come up with a list of rules and regulations that I could bring to someone and say, don't do this, because I don't want him to do it. But the fact of it is, they are God's children. They are God's children that He has redeemed, He has given His life for, but rather that we would preach the word of truth, of reconciliation to them, that they may know this truth, and that they may move forward and be encouraged by His Spirit and allow their life to have change. It's just interesting. It's just like Jesus says to the Pharisees, what? Oh, you guys do a good job. You clean up the outside of your cup. You look really pristine and really good, but what are you full of? Dead man's works. Dead man's fault. He said, it's garbage. Rather, what would you rather have, even for your own children, even for your own life? That they would conform from the internal, that it would come forth to the external. That they would know the grace of God, that they would know the love of God, that they would know His mercy and His grace, and that they would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It is a very powerful time. He says, these individuals, he says, they're going to turn away. He says, because they're going to turn from truth, and he says, and they're going to actually turn to fables. They're going to turn to fables. They're going to turn to all these other things. These magical stories. Want to hear a good fable? Every path leads to heaven. Really? Jesus Christ says, I am the door. I am the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's an interesting thing. Another fable that we have a tendency is you must live an upright life to be accepted, to be received. Or you must conjure up enough faith in your life to be received. Or you must do enough good works to be received. Those are fables. We are first Christian. And being Christian, therefore we mimic or we put out the fruit of God. We don't put on the fruit to hope to be a Christian. And so then he comes across very strongly. He says, they're going to turn to these different fables. He says, but watch, he says, in all those things. He says, and endure affliction. He says, do not, he says, go out and do the work of an evangelist. Reach out to people. And that's something that really has been on my heart lately. And I fail at this, and I pray that maybe we would consider this. How often do we reach out? How often do we personally stop looking around and not thinking of anybody else? How often does Jesse invite someone to church? How often do I invite someone to pray? How often? Not very often. And so this is a reminder to all of us that we would take this time and that we would encourage people, and when they go through difficulty, and I've told you 100 times before, where there's times in my life where, like Linton Silver, I'd say, brother, I got this issue in my life. And he'd say, let's pray. And he'd do it right there. He'd do it right there. And that was encouraging. And I'm not saying that we have to be preachers, but how often do we just say, hey, how are things in your life? Well, really, this is going on, this is going on. How many of us would run into people that have some problems? I think every one of us could run into people that are having problems. And how often does Jesse say, well, I'll pray for you, and then go out to Lefty and start putting on the roof and forget? I know God weeps in times of our ignorance. I know that there is grace for these things. And I know that He knows the needs of each and every person. But we are here to encourage, to strengthen one another, to uplift one another. That we would take this time. He says, have that heart of an evangelist. He says, really, make proof of your ministry, serving people. Yes, he is speaking specifically here to, say, a pastor, Timothy. But yet, isn't it true for all of us? We all have a ministry, a service for one another. And then he turns around and he speaks very boldly. He says, I understand what's coming. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. He says, I know what's coming. My life will be poured out as an offering for this gospel, for this ministry. So I think Paul's taking it pretty serious. He says, and my time of departure actually is really close. He says, but I fought a good fight. He says, I finished my course. I've done what God has called me to do. And Paul is not saying that he has done this himself. He tells the people, even in other parts of the scripture, be a follower of I, as I follow Christ. He understands it is Jesus Christ in him. Remember, he's the one that says in other parts of the scripture that, you know what, the good that I would do, he says, I can't do it, but the bad that I would not, I often do it. So who is going to deliver me from this body of flesh? And then he says, I thank God for Jesus Christ. He understood and he knows it is Christ in you that gives you this ability. It is Christ in you that allows you to testify and to know truth. It is Christ in you that allows you to proclaim and to pray and to encourage. It is Christ in you. Well, it is no different for anything. Christ is in you. And He has called each and every one of us to proclaim that word in all that we say and that we do. He says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the course. He says, I've kept the faith. He says, and henceforth there is laid up for me what? A crown of righteousness. He's speaking here of eternal life. He says very plainly, eternal life is there. He says, I have this gift that Christ has given for me. I have this gift that God will bless me with. So what do I have to lose? He says, actually, to die is to gain. Fight the fight. Proclaim the truth. Encourage one another. Teaching is so important. May we always remember that. May we never, ever take for granted that. Because oftentimes, we get as human beings a little bit pity party. I have pity parties. I don't know if you ever do. But I remember just recently I was out working at Lefty and thinking, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Literally, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm a pastor and I'm out here shingling, or I'm out here, you know, building things or putting bathrooms, and I'm not complaining. Listen to the whole context. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Lord, show me. Then we have a youth rally. Miserable. Cold weather. Snow. Coming. 50 kids out there. Praising God. 50 kids out there worshiping. 20 adults worshiping with them. Praising God. The You ask yourself, is this what we're supposed to be doing? There'll be another 50 out there this week. Learning, being encouraged. And then in July, we'll have another 150 out there. Learning, being encouraged. It is all viable. It is all important. No matter what we may be doing, whether we're putting on shingles or scrubbing a toilet, may we know that we are honoring God and we're doing it for His honor and glory. Whatever you may be doing, you have an opportunity to speak the truth in all places. Whether you're speaking to a teller in a credit union or a Superior National Bank, whether you're in Pax IGA, wherever you have an opportunity to preach and speak truth. How do you do that? Quote scripture to them? Be an example of love, patience, long-suffering, and encouragement to someone that may be downtrodden. May God be glorified in our lives. May we understand what we do for our youth is not life. It's not all about the entertainment factor. It is about teaching. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and in His kingdom, preach the word. May we always preach that word, even in our songs, for Jesus' sake.